Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and it's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's good to have everybody.
Oh, that's right. It is good to have everybody here on a Tuesday night. How about it, Jeremy? What do you say, man?
Hey, man, I jumped back in here by the skin of my teeth, but we're back. So
Tuesday
night. It's our hour. Scott, let's kick it off.
No doubt, man. So what you been up to? Hopefully you had a good week and ready to get back out there to some more rodeos.
Man, I had a busy weekend. It was a good weekend, but it was a busy weekend. I took off on Friday morning and left Alabama, drove to good old New Jersey, and went to Cowtown Rodeo for the weekend. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but the original Cowtown Rodeo is in Pillsgrove, New Jersey. But, man,
longest
continuous running PRCA rodeo in the country. They go from the right there in May, they start right there about the third weekend of May, and they'll go all the way till September with a, you know, every Saturday night PRCA rodeo. Went up there and fought bull Saturday night. That's the place that when I got my permit for the PRCA, they helped me fill my permit. So when you get your permit in PRCA, you have to fight five rodeos on your permit, and then you're evaluated, and then obviously they, you know, they send that to a board. And they vote on whether you are approved to get your card or not. So Miss Betsy Harris, who is the husband or the wife of Grant Harris, who he owns Cowtown Rodeo, him and her. When I started, they were still in charge of it. So I got in there with Betsy. She was so good to me. But man, I worked rodeos there for that 2019 summer. And man, every year I go back at least two times a year, just because man, it feels like home. It's such a cool place. But that's where I was at. Went up to Cowtown, drove up Friday, worked the rodeo Saturday night, and then, man, turned right back around Sunday morning and struck out of there heading back home. So it was a fun weekend,
man.
But, man, it was a lot of driving.
A lot of miles on that vehicle of yours, right?
I'm telling you, man, I ain't even going to lie. So Mom went to the beach. I'm going to sound like a rodeo bum right here, but Mom went to the beach, took the grandkids of hers, and I noticed that she left the car keys hanging up there at the house when I stopped in. So I texted her. I said, "Hey, you care if I, you know, take the Lexus to New Jersey?" So the Honda
riding in
Alabama,
style, are you?
Hey, and I rode in style. I was man. I looked like I looked like not your typical bullfighter pulling up in the Lexus. So, and it was cool.
Uh-huh.
And Steven had filled it up with gas before I left. So, man, just in typical Raw Steel fashion of who I learned from the
That's
best,
right.
Man, I just took Mom's car and put the miles on hers, not mine, you know.
I was just getting ready to say, if that's not a Ross Hill move, I don't know what is.
Well, hey, man, you know who we learned from here. Come on now.
That's right.
Hey,
that's
there ain't
right,
nothing
man.
Wrong being a mama's boy, though. I'll admit it, man. Nothing wrong with that. She takes care of me. Man, love my mom to death. So nothing wrong. She's so good to me, takes care of me, helps me any way that I ever need help. So when she said take
no
the
doubt.
Car, I appreciated it. But, you know, it was cool. Cool time up there. I don't know if you're familiar with it much, but man, Cowtown is actually one of the coolest places, man. First year I went up there, they still had the original old wooden bucking chutes. And there's a
okay.
few places in the country that still have wood chutes, but man, it was so cool. Like everything there is just big. It's kind of like how Okeechobee was, just big, huge pens. And, you know, it's like stepping into a 10-foot cage, you know. But I got to go up there, and I had no idea what to expect. I had a few people tell me, they're like, "Hey, man, the bulls are hot up there now. Like, don't think it's going to be a day off." And when I went up there the first time, I found out real quick that is in the world that I think probably have some of the hottest bulls in the country. And one of them is
mm-hmm.
anywhere in South Florida, and you know that for a fact. But the second place is, man, I'll put Cowtown Rodeo right there with anybody in the country for the amount of hot bulls and consistently hot bulls that they raise on that place, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they breed to. But, good Lord, man, we bucked 16 bulls Saturday night. Out of the 16, the first section, we did a section of 8. It was some calves. They were like 3-year-old calves. Had some ABBI outs on them, so they're really his good calves. Thank goodness they wanted to buck. They were hot and they were mean, but like they still wanted to buck, so you could work them pretty easy. Second section that we bucked at the end of the night, man, those 8 right there, they were like 4-year-olds that didn't have many outs on them. I would bet them bulls didn't have 3 or 4 rider trips. I'm telling you, every single bull that we bucked in that second section wanted to eat somebody. Like, I mean, hit the barrel. They want to go after horses, bullfighters. They don't care. And, man, it is so cool. Like, you get complacent going to different rodeos, and I don't mean that to sound bad, but, you know, you go place to place, week to week, you kind of see that same set of bulls. You kind of get used to them, and you know which ones are hot. You know which ones to kind of step your game up on, like, oh, this one might be a little tougher than this other one. But it's so cool to go somewhere like that to where you have to kind of completely reset. You have to start back at step one. You got to treat every one of them the exact same. Hey, and up there, man, they will make you earn it. And, like, I love going up. Not a day off when you go to Cowtown Rodeo, that's for sure.
You know, and that's what I've heard. Now, I've never had the pleasure of actually going up there to the Cowtown Rodeo. Actually was going to enter into it 1 year, but ended up fracturing my eye socket, couldn't travel. I had what they call a floating eye socket, and they said literally you take a bump in the road and then you can knock it out and end up having to go in for immediate surgery. So I didn't risk it, stayed home. Yeah, it is. So ended up calling out, but I was actually entered up to go to the Cowtown Rodeo, man. I thought that would have been the coolest experience, being the longest rodeo, you know, PRCA, going up that way. I'd have loved to have gone to it, but just never made the trip myself, man.
Man, it's cool. They, you know, the quality of contestant, and I'm not taking anything away from anywhere in the country, but, I mean, we know, you know, the Texas circuit and the Southeast circuit to me is actually really tough too. But, you know, any of those circuits where you do have your bigger pro rodeos, like they draw the bigger cowboys, they draw the bigger contestants. And when you go up there to the First Frontier circuit, they don't draw as many contestants, but man, they still draw some quality. There is some guys that come up through there. You know, there's some guys that can really ride that come out of that part of the country. And believe it or not, more the rough stock guys. The timed event is okay. They get guys up there that can rope, and, you know, there's some good barrel racers and stuff. But the bull riders you know, that's kind of what they've been known for producing. But you take a guy like Jeff Askey. You know, Jeff mm-hmm. lives in Texas now, left Pennsylvania, went to Martin, Tennessee to go to college. But he got that foundation in New Jersey. You know, he went to Cowtown there, you know, a handful of times. They always talk about seeing Jeff when he was growing up. Dalen Swearingen, you know, the man, PBR world champion. He's from New York.
Right.
And he came through the Cowtown Rodeo. They had their own rodeo company themselves. But, man, it's just been a handful of guys. Grayson Cole, that kid right now, he made the Velocity Finals. He's sitting top 20 in the world in the PRCA. That kid is from up there. He won the circuit last year. Man, it's not like when you go up there, it's a bunch of gunsels. They, you know, they have, just like you have anywhere, you have some locals that enter that, you know, they're probably not ready for that level of bulls, but they also have some cowboys that come through there that are good. And, man, one cool thing about Cowtown in the bull riding, they'll let that money roll over. And so Saturday night, man, we bucked them all off. And that added money week to week rolls over. And, man, it won't
That's
be
right.
anything for, you give it 2 or 3 weeks, and the added money at Cowtown will be like $7,500 in the bull riding. And you take a guy who is sitting top 20, they'll buy a plane ticket to Philadelphia to go to Cowtown to get one rode, because that's a bunch of money.
That's right.
You know, that's a ton of money
you
for
bet.
World standing. So you never know really when you show up. You never know who's going to be there. Cool thing, they kind of passed it on. If you ever watch the story of Cowtown, if anybody's ever listening right now and you want to kind of check it out a little bit more, Yeti made a video on YouTube a few years ago, It's a Yeti documentary, and if you can type in Cowtown Rodeo Yeti, it'll pull it up. But man, it tells the full story of how Cowtown got started, kind of how it works, and who runs it, and all that. But they had two daughters, and one daughter is Courtney Harris, which now is Courtney Moorhead, but she married Jake Moorhead, and they run Three Hills Rodeo. So she left New Jersey, moves to Iowa. And if you're familiar with Three Hills Rodeo, man, they put on the world's toughest, you know, those world's toughest rodeos that we see all over the country. So just once again, that family's so involved in rodeo. But the other daughter, Katie, she stayed right there in New Jersey. And she's married to a guy named RJ. And they kind of passed on the rodeo production to Katie and RJ. And, man, RJ's like upper 30s, 40, just so cool to be around. And that's kind of who does the hiring now. That's who's in charge of it. Miss Betsy, one of the nicest people you'll ever meet in your life. She kind of still has a big, huge role, but, you know, they passed it on to their kids. So it is super cool place. It's so fun. And RJ is actually partnered with some bulls with HD Page. He has got some bulls right now. He's got some classic bulls that, at the classics and the futurities, he's making a pile of money on a few bulls that he's hauling out right now that he's got in Texas. So they're kind of branching back out. They're trying to get that name well known again. They've had a bull last year or the last 2 years that they took the NFR called Yeti's Big Poison. And Big Poison, a bull that Frost rode, almost won the round on him. He was like 88 points at the NFR. Just a good, great bull. And also they've got some pretty good bucking horses. I mean, they've been going to the rigging rallies, and for them to be in New Jersey, they're putting Cowtown back on the map. So just so cool to see that family succeeding. Just a good time spent up there in New Jersey. And I wish I was going back, but, man, we're heading to another one. So
That's right. Well, listen, man, we talked about it last Tuesday on our show. They had the Bulls Night Out there at the Parker County, Posse County, or the Posse County Sheriff's there in Parker County. They're right next door over here in Weatherford. And, I was watching that while we had our show on live last Tuesday. And, man, I'm going to tell you, the Bulls came to buck. I mean, there was hardly any qualified rides in that. As a matter of fact, I don't know that there were during the entire time we were on the show. I don't think I saw one qualified ride. But they did have a good turnout this weekend, and it was good. Robbie Taylor and Cody Teal ended up winning that event. Both of them end up splitting first place on that.
It's cool to see Cody Teal still in there. That guy, man, world champion in probably 2011-ish, somewhere in there, 2010. Over 10 years ago that he won the world in the PRCA. He was young when he did it, but he's always a consistent force in the PRCA and the PBR. He swapped over, went to the PBRs for a while. Now he's back to just kind of going to the PRCAs. But, man, good dude. So, yeah, I didn't honestly check to see who won that deal, but that's cool. I'm proud for Cody Teal.
Yeah, it's funny because it actually helped bump him up. He's currently 13th right now in the world standings.
Yeah.
There's still
cool
a chance we could see him again at the NFR.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It'd be cool to see him make another run because those world standings are going to really shift right now. For the next about month and a half, it's going to be hot and heavy on who's healthy, who's winning, who's consistent. And that makes a big push on who will be who will be sitting on those yellow bucket chutes come December. So,
right now
is the time to do it. So if you're going to win money, you're going to be hot. June, July, and August, that's time that every cowboy wants to be healthy because that's when they win a lot of money in the PRCA.
No, well, there is a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of rodeos going on all over the world. So, bet that these guys are going to be dipping their hands in it.
Hey,
I was going to say, I don't know that they'll be driving Lexuses to the rodeos. They'll be getting there them.
No kidding. Hey, I did forget to tell you, but I'm going to have a guest call in for us here in just a few minutes. So if you don't mind, just keep a look on it. But good friend of mine, man, Adam Gibbs, rodeo announcer from right here in Alabama, but has some good insight, a guy that I work with a lot. I talked to him earlier, and I asked him if he wanted to be on the show with us tonight, and he has been begging to be on here. So I don't know exactly. I told him about I told him about 8:15 or 8:20. So if you see him pop through, you just let me know, cut me off, and we'll go to him. But I just wanted to fill you in. If you see a number calling, that's going to be our guest for
tonight. Right. All right, man. I'll keep my eyes open. But in the meantime, where are you headed next?
Man, I am so I'm putting the cleats down this weekend. Been fighting bulls. It's been so fun, man, just staying in the arena fighting bulls. But I'm headed to West Chicago, Illinois this weekend. Man, that is a long ways from home. going up there to announce one for Big Hat Rodeo Company. It's an IPRA rodeo. Been around, man, Big Hat's been around for over 100 years also. They're like third generation, fourth generation rodeo family. But Lenora Calzavera, she runs that now. Her dad, he was Rudy Calzavera. And if you remember last week with Dusty, we talked about them just a little bit. But just a good rodeo family. That part of the country there, not known for having a lot of cowboys either. But, man, she's known for her bucking horses. And she raises some great ones. But got a three-day rodeo there. It'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, actually. But I'm going to head up Thursday. We got to set the arena up and all that. So, man, I've been with that family since I got started good fighting bulls. So they've always been good to me. And now, man, she's kind of one of the first ones to really give me a chance at announcing. So I'm going to break the speakers out, get the microphone out, and we're going to go talk about rodeo for three perks right there in West Chicago, Illinois. It's going to be fun. Actually, the thing I'm looking the most forward to on that deal, I don't know if you remember her, but Dusty Crane. So Dusty Crane, now she's Dusty Crane Dickerson. But, man, she is one of the best trick riders in the country. Man, she's been at the NFR. She carried the flag at the NFR. Just trick rides all over the country. Started right there at Dixie Stampede in Dollywood. So she kind of got that start with, the specialty acts, all that stuff. But she is so good, man. Roman rides, trick rides, all that stuff. And, that's going to kind of be a first for me to have a big specialty act to get to announce. So, looking forward to that.
Really?
It should be cool. She'll be there for three days. So when I was at the first Frontier Circuit Finals in January, she was up there at those. Anthony Lucia was announcing it. She was specialty act. And it was so cool to watch those two work together. Man, he could just make that deal flow so good. So just kind of, man, branching into this announcing career, that's kind of cool to me. It's kind of, going to be fun to make that connection and just kind of have somebody like that who's worked with some of the biggest names in rodeo kind of be able to listen to you and say, hey, you did good or you need to do this better or, don't do this or do that. So, man, it's just kind of cool to have some of those people who have, they've been so many places and they've watched so many people announce that, I'm good on criticism. I enjoy it. It doesn't hurt my feelings. So if somebody will tell me like, hey, I think you did this good, but you need to do this different. It doesn't hurt my feelings. Like I like when people do that because, it just helps us become a better announcer and better person in general in the rodeo world.
You bet it does. So now when you announce that, are you announcing on horseback or are you announcing from the booth?
I'm going to be in a booth. I'm not announcing horseback just yet. I would love to announce horseback, but right now, man, for travel expenses, I can keep everything in a truck and get up there without having to pull a trailer. So, in the future, I really do want to branch off into announcing horseback. Man, it's one of the coolest things. And Adam Gibbs, who's going to be our guest tonight, he announces horseback all the time. And he's a guy that I love watching. He does such a great job. And that's kind of, man, you always want to kind of be like those guys that you model yourself after. So hopefully here in a year or so, we'll try that. But, Scott, I don't have a music person, so I have to run my own music and announce.
That's right. Okay.
Without having a music director, it's hard to get off announcer stand right now.
You bet. Well, speaking of Adam, I believe we've actually got him on the line, my friend. Will you say we bring him in on this conversation?
Well, be ready to be entertained. I can tell you that much.
All right, man. Adam, you with us?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Doing well, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was excited that Jeremy called and asked me to be on here. It really made me feel like I'd hit the big time.
Well, you have hit the big time. Welcome to the Ross Hill Memorial Hour, my friend.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate you having me on.
Scott, so I know I said it earlier, but, man, Adam, a guy that he knew Ross pretty well, too. He knows Amber super good, Chad Blanchard. Man, he's been around that whole crew. So goes back to being an Alabama guy. We've worked together for so many years. We've been all over the country together, but just one of my good friends. And, Adam, I do appreciate you joining us. We'll have fun for a few minutes, and I promise I won't tell no incriminating evidence on you while you're on here.
Hey, if you do, I'm camouflaging some mossy oak, so I'll be good.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was gonna say, you just better promise to not do it to me.
That's right. Hey, I'm going pretty close to Philadelphia, Mississippi this week.
Sorry, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
yeah, Scott,
that's right.
Scott's not going to know that one, but we'll have to tell the world. So, Scott, man, this is Adam's favorite joke on me. But first bull riding, I got to announce. So the first bull riding, I'm on my own, man. I'm nervous, and it's 4th of July, so I'm trying to do this big patriotic speech, you know, and I'm telling them all about the freedoms we have and talking about they signed the Declaration of Independence. Well, I got messed up, and, you know, everybody knows that the Declaration was signed in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but I had a bull rider
right
in Philadelphia, Mississippi, and I just couldn't get that off my head, so... So, yeah, I tell the whole bull riding that night that, you know, this declaration was signed in Mississippi, and the whole place looked like I was just the biggest idiot. So I never lived that down. You know, we've all going to do funny stuff. But, yeah, Adam never lets me forget about where the Declaration of Independence was signed.
Hey, I mess up weekly, and I tell everybody it's not how much you mess up. It's just how good you can try to cover it up, so.
So
that's right. Or
do.
Make people laugh about it. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, and the probably the only two people that noticed that, or probably three people, would have been the girl running the music for Jeremy that night and Shane Esco. So, and Shane, it's a wonder that he even knew where the Declaration of Independence was signed at, period.
Hey, I bet he couldn't spell it.
No, you know he couldn't. He couldn't. And people, if he was trying to tell them, they think it started with an M. He'd go, mama, Philadelphia, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, we'll have to get him on here one day just because I want to have the world hear how many times Shane Esco can say, in one sentence, you know.
He is such
so
a good guy. But he...
Go ahead.
No, I was going along with what you were talking about Shane. I said he's such a good guy, but he's easy to give a hard time.
He is, and Scott, I know you haven't got to witness it all, but, man, we've got a group of friends that, when I tell you we're true friends, you wouldn't know it by looking at us on Facebook because it looks like we hate each other. But, man, we give each other a hard time, and people get on Facebook. When they see one of us post a picture, they get on there just to see the comments. They get on there just to see how tough we're going to be on each other because that's the kind of friends we are. So it's fun.
Yeah, those are some of the best friends to have. And I can remember a time Ross Hill actually did the same thing to me, man. So you know, it's if we didn't like you, we wouldn't talk about you.
I couldn't do anything with that Ross Hill posting. There's the rookie. Look at my rookie, you know. So,
7 years in, huh?
Yeah, 7 years in. I was still a rookie. I was like, appreciate it, Ross. So, Adam, where are you going this weekend? Talk to us about rodeo a little bit. You're one of the – to me, man, I love watching you, but obviously rodeo announcer. I'm right here in the southeast. So tell us where you're going, where you're going to be at this weekend.
Well, we'll be in Brookhaven, Mississippi with Shelby Bearden, which is – it's a tri-state rodeo, and it's co-sanctioned, but I don't know how the co-sanctioning is. But that's always a fun place to go. Jeremy actually did a – co-announced a rodeo with me in Columbia, Mississippi, probably one of the first ones that you'd got to do, I believe, and it was for Shelby and them. So he real good guy to work for, real easy going. His girlfriend, DeShanna Davis, is part of the Miss Rodeo America program. You got Taylor McNair, Miss Rodeo America 2018. She'll be – or 2019, she'll be there working the rodeo. It's all – they have a really good rodeo, and it's just always fun to go work for them. Real easy going.
I had never heard of that McNair girl. Never heard of her.
Yeah, she. I'll be sure to tell her that Jimmy said hello.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know who she is. Make sure you tell her that too. Yeah.
She's one of the most humble people.
Tell Miss Rodeo America, I've never heard of her.
That's right. Yeah, I'll tell her. I'll tell her you said that.
Yeah. So, Adam, we talked a little bit about it whenever we started the show back. But, man, one of the reasons we got this thing going again, you know, it had a lot to do with Ross Hill Bull Fest when we worked that event together. As soon as it was over, man, a lot of people said, you know, hey, I think, you know, with Scott's show they used to do with Ross, I think y'all should get it going. You worked that event. You were the main announcer. I was right there beside you as a co-announcer. But let's talk about that, man. Back in March, we did. We had the privilege of getting to work a super cool event, you know, and it was all for Ross Hill, which is what the whole point of this show was for. So let's go back to March, and let's talk a little bit about that event. Man, just tell me how much you know, what it meant to you, and let's talk about those 2 days.
Well, I'll say this. Jeremy's always – he's probably the person I'm most proud of in rodeo. So anytime I get to work with him is always fun. And so we – Jeremy and I had got to work. I'm talking about Jeremy Cohen that's on here with us. Different Jeremy. But anyways, we got to work – Jeremy and I worked PCA finals down there, and then we'd worked Ryan Davis's bull ride, and we did that talk show there. But it was something that we had talked about for – I don't know, for months, you know, leading up to it. And we got to go up there and work that deal. It was so much fun. We had Don Hollywood Yates, who was on American Gladiators. He was part of the event. You know, we had a lot of our friends, you know, were there. Josh Brooks and them were there, driving bulls out. But probably, I would say, the best thing, Austin Beasley done an outstanding job putting it together. But probably the best thing was getting to watch call those bullfights. He was talking about me being the main announcer. We actually announced probably the same amount of time each, but that was probably the best added effect to it. I just had a whole bunch of fun. Getting to watch him do that. He was he does such a good job doing that. But that whole event was fun, and it's anytime you get to work with your friends like that. We go work somewhere every week, and you get to work with people that you like, but it's not like working with people who like that you could spend every day with, you know, hang out with every day.
Sure.
So that was just it was a fun thing. And, you know, he mentioned Amber Blanchard. You know, Amber, which is Ross's sister, she means a bunch to me. They've always been from our first start in the rodeo business, her and Chad's always been good to us. So it was kind of like getting to go up there and work with a bunch of family. We had a really good time. Greg Ellick was there. It was fun. But those 21 bullfights, that's the most I'd ever seen at one stop. And anybody, it was almost like having the only way I could compare it would be like maybe the Major League All-Star Series. Like everybody that was somebody, all 21 of those guys that were there were actually stars, you know. And it was just amazing to get to watch, you know. And we had, I mean, for 2 days, I mean, they fought bulls and fought bulls, and I'm not a good bull riding. I'm not a good announcer, probably, period, but I'm not a good bull riding announcer. I'm even worse at the bullfights because I do tend to cuss sometimes. So every now and then I want to go, you know, something bad, you know, like Chance Mormon. I mean, he got just hooked to death and got hurt pretty bad. And, you know, it's hard not to scream something out like, oh gosh, you know, like, but something really bad. Am I right, Jeremy? It was on the edge.
You're spot on, Scott. I know we did discuss it a good bit, but that bullfight, the kind of the best way Adam described it, it was like watching a world finals. It was like being on the Sunday of the world finals for the UBF. If you were anybody in bullfighting, you were in Tuscumbia, Alabama for those 2 days. The ones that advanced out of their brackets, man, it was just the way it went. But the guys who advanced, and not taking away anything from the guys who didn't advance, but the top dogs advanced, you know, every round, it was just – and it was bullfights for them to advance. But you were getting to watch great, great bullfights. But then Saturday night, that short round and all that, it was just, man, it was incredible. And Ross wouldn't have had it any other way. There was not a day off in that pen. You know, Chad Ellison brought heat. He brought killers. There was not a bull that them guys could fight that was just an easy bull. So,
right.
Super cool deal. Man, it was, me and Adam have talked about it since, but, I mean, it was so fun. So that was the first time that, you know, that really, as far as having production and somebody there, Taylor Bellis is running sound for us. And,
oh, she
man, they
was.
Give you a script. And, like, man, it was, that was the coolest thing to me was, man, you felt like you were at the PBR. You know, just such a cool
right.
moment. And it makes you appreciate that. You realize then you're like, this is what I want to do. You know, each week, this is where I want to be. This is what I want to do. It kind of makes you push to get to that point. Just a cool event.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
I don't think you'll see me missing. I don't think you'll see me missing another one. I think I'll be there at the ones going forward. I can't go another year without being part of that.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a live show next year.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, live. You know, you brought up a good point, though, like Taylor Bellis. Really, like, it was almost like being thankful for being able to have a job there because they could have hired anybody to have come in. And lots of people would have been tickled to have flown because there were people flying from everywhere. Like Dan Stephanie Newman, they came all the way from Washington. But, like, Todd Greenway was there and, you know, doing the big screen and running production and Taylor Bellis, and it was so top-notch. It was just a really good deal.
Nice. Well, Adam, let me ask you real quick, man. What got you in rodeo? How did you get into rodeo?
Oh, this is a cool story now.
I rodeoed back forever, probably when Jeremy was in elementary school.
It was back when they rode dinosaurs, Scott.
Yeah. I could lope a T-Rex like nobody else. But I rode bareback saddle of my horses I started in 10th grade, 10th, 11th, 12th grade in high school rodeoed, and that was in, I guess, 95, and all the way up to 01, and then I got out of rodeo, and I got married and had an insurance office, and I announced other things after that, and then I got divorced and came back to Holly Pond, and which is where my hometown is, and when I came back here, my friend Matt McGee, which is phenomenal announcer. I think anybody you'd ask would say, like, is solid announcer. He could announce anywhere he wanted to go, but he called me and asked me, "Sir, are you still doing them fights?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, I got a set of speakers I want to see," and said, "I'll put you in the rodeo announcing business." So we went over and we bought a set of speakers, went right to announcing rodeos. And it's kind of funny because we were announcing better rodeos than we should have been because we weren't good at all. And so that kind of hurt us a little bit in the beginning because, you know, they would call Matt and say, "Hey, you know, I need you to come do, you know, wherever, XYZ, Indiana." And he'd say, "I got a guy that'll come do it for you," you know. So he put us right to announcing rodeos. And we got in that way. And so that's how we got into rodeo announcing.
Okay.
Hey,
interesting.
God, he'll be humble about it, but I'll vouch for him. But Adam, when he left rodeo, he's talking about doing the fights. Adam was a ring announcer for Strikeforce and did a lot of which now would be like the UFC, but, you know, mixed martial arts kind of fight. But man, we've watched YouTube videos. Me and Shane Esco, who we were just talking about, but man, we'd go up and down the road YouTube and Adam Gibbs and watch these fights that he called. But he was actually a ring announcer for you know, mixed martial arts fights, and then came back to rodeo. And if you hear him announce, you can kind of still hear a little bit of that in his voice, and it's so cool to hear that. He was great at it, and he'll be humble, but Adam is a great, super great rodeo announcer. I love getting to be around him. Heck, we started, what,
I told you
10
only give
years
me $50
ago going to West Palm Beach. We were doing double K rodeos and West Palm and everywhere else, and look at us now.
Oh, I tell you what, we've had a lot of fun over the years. And like I say, Jeremy is I'm the most proud of Jeremy because he and I think a lot. The thing I like about Jeremy is that he'll tell you exactly what he thinks. I know we got we got John Waite, a guy that runs music from Iowa. He just pulled in the driveway with his travel trailer. And it's a Lincoln Super. He's really excited. But the but Jeremy, everything Jeremy does, he does good at. But it's we've had a lot of fun, and it's been good to watch him, you know, get into the rodeo announcing, because he's still a really good bullfighter, and then he kind of steps in and does both, and so we've had a lot of fun over the years for sure.
No doubt.
I know you got company coming, but we'll get you back on here because I got plenty of stories I need to share with the world that are Adam Gibbs stories. So you take care of what you got to take care of there at the house. We appreciate you joining us.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on. Anytime you ever need somebody to fill some space or whatever, you just call me and let me know, and I'll do whatever I can to hurt your ratings.
Yeah.
You bet you, Adam. Anytime, my friend.
We've got some stories we still need to tell. Don't worry.
Hey, yeah, I'll be ready when you get ready. You call me anytime. Thank y'all for having me.
We appreciate
you
calling, Adam.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
All right. Man, I'll tell you what, that's a good character right there. Or a good cat, as Ross Hill would say.
Yeah, I hate he got cut off. I knew he had a friend coming, John Waite. He's a sound guy. He's coming to do some rodeos down here, and I knew he was coming in, but I thought we'd have a little more time with Adam. Adam's such a good dude, man, and I promise the more we get him on here, the more he'll loosen up. And I'm telling you, there is some stories that are only Adam Gibbs stories, and to be honest, they're just even funnier to tell on him. But just one of those guys that you could go anywhere in the world with. Such a good friend with the Hill family. He's been around them for years. But when we did that event, it was so cool for Amber and all of them. That was one thing they suggested, you know, was having Adam there. And he took so much pride in that event and wanted it to be good for the Hill family. I'm glad we could get him on because, like I said, he is a fun character. If you could hear Lincoln in the background, that's his little boy. He is a handful, and he keeps Adam busy. So
I'm sure he does.
We'll catch him on the road one day, and it will be interesting.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. We'll certainly have some more conversations with him. So, well, what else you got, man? What else is coming up for you here in the next few weeks, man?
Well, we're gonna go to Illinois this week. I'm gonna go up there, do that rodeo, and then I'm gonna come back home and go back to fighting bulls for a weekend. Got one with Charlie Lowry and the 4L Diamond S crew. So it's gonna be I don't know, man. The summer, unless something cancels on me right now, it's all the way to November. We're pretty solid. I love to deer hunt. That's about my only other hobby. Is I do love to hunt. So when they call in, like, November, it doesn't hurt my feelings if I have a weekend or two off in November, because that means I can go and sneak off to the deer woods. But other than that, man, you know the deal. We love to be rodeoing, and there's no place you want to be other than on the road. I got in Sunday night. It was probably 10 o'clock. I mean, not super late. But you spend all day driving to get home. Man, I've worked and worked and worked yesterday and today to try to get all my stuff done and get some more stuff done tomorrow so that we can leave again. But that's the thing. That's the rodeo life. That's this time of year to where if you want to rodeo for a living and you want to try to do this and you want it to be able to pay your bills, this is the time of year that you have to be gone. You know, there's no way around it. You got to be on the road. And people think I'm crazy. They say, you went all the way to New Jersey? And it's like, yeah, I went to New Jersey. Because, man, when I got up there, I've been going for years. But I actually fought it with a kid from Arizona, and there was another kid from New York that stepped in. So we had a three-man rotation, which was, man, made for a super fun night. But just talking about Ross Hill, I'm at Cowtown, and that was one thing me and RJ were sitting there talking about. And he was like, man, did you know that Ross come up here a lot? Said, man, I remembered, you know, Ross talking about it, but I never knew how many he did. He said, yeah, he would always come up here. He said he would come through and he would do one or two for us. So just kind of shows, like, what a small world it is. And I'm proud to be kind of stepping in those same footsteps. Kind of chasing that same trail that he chased, meeting those same people, because I know he'd be proud of me for that. So it's cool. such a cool place is what Cowtown was, and to know that, like, hey, Ross Hill fought it multiple times. So just just little things that mean so much to you.
No doubt, man, no doubt. Well, not to get too far off topic, but you mentioned hunting. Did you ever get a chance to go hunting with Ross Hill?
Man, there is some things that I'm glad I never got to do. but hunting with Ross is one of those that I never did.
Really?
I had plenty of places. Well, I was too scared to tell Ross where I hunted at, because I knew if I ever did, I wouldn't be able to keep him off of it. So,
right.
Man, we shared hunting stories. He actually, the place, so where we live right here, and obviously, like, you know this, but we grew up so close together. I mean, maybe it might be 3 or 4 miles from my house to his house. But some of the land that Ross actually hunted, it was next door to where I hunt, so my place that I had access to. So to be honest, as close of friends as I was with Ross, I was typically trying to keep Ross off my place.
So,
you know,
well,
the over-the-fence outfitters, over-the-fence outfitters didn't have property lines, didn't mean anything, and he could talk his way into anything. So, yeah, I was always trying to tell Ross, like, no, man, I'll catch up with you next time.
So we actually, I spent some time up there at Muscle Shoals, and when I got up there one time, he's like, man, we got to go out hunting. And I got up there probably about 4 or 5 o'clock. He said, we got to go get up in the blind. I'm like, all right. So we go out into this spot. He's got set up, drove me back out there in these, and through the woods. And I had no idea where I was. Couldn't have found my way out of Muscle Shoals had I got lost. And we sit up there and we catch, I mean, there's nothing moving out there. So then Ross decided, well, we ain't deer hunting anymore. We're going coyote hunting because we saw some coyotes cutting through. And, you know, that was just typical Ross. He got, I mean, if one thing wasn't biting, he was going to find something else.
Hey, he could find something that was biting, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. So then the next day we're driving out, just driving across, and he saw some deer out there in the pasture, pulled out his rifle and started shooting at him. And I had no idea whose property. I was like, Ross going to get us thrown in jail, man. He's just out here shooting off his truck. I mean, that guy, oh, yeah, he was something else. And never miss an opportunity to shoot something.
Hey, did you ever meet Mitch Dixon when you were up here?
I don't know that I did.
Mitch was my age. He would have been younger when you would have been coming through. But, man, Mitch, to me, whenever we all talk about Ross's friends and who really, I mean, Ross knew everybody, but Ross had those close friends. To me, Mitch was probably as close to a best friend as I would think Ross had as far as his do or die and would do anything for him. Him and Mitch Dixon were so close.
Right.
I need to get Mitch on here one week because you talk about hunting. Mitch rodeoed a little bit. He bulldogged. He team roped a little bit. And then just because you're hanging out with Ross, I mean, you had to know how to fight bulls because we buck bulls at the house so much.
Sure.
Mitch was kind of that cowboy, but he stayed home a lot too, but loved to hunt. Just the coolest guy ever, man. Mitch is one of my good friends. But him and Ross, there is so many stories that Mitch can tell on their hunting trips and the stuff that Ross got him into. But me and Mitch actually turkey hunt a decent amount together this spring. Man, it was so cool to have him. Me and him got back to hanging out a lot. But we're in the middle of this, like, national forest public land in the middle of nowhere up here around the house. And we're trying to turkey hunt. So we're riding the road just, like, middle of the day. We're just trying to kind of kill time. And we come around a curve, and there's this, like, random old man driving a car now down some roads that, like, a four-wheel drive truck needs to be going down. This old hillbilly-looking guy rolls his window down. He starts talking to us, and we're like, buddy, are you lost? You know? He's like, no, I'm just out here riding and looking around, you know? And so we're like, well, you know, man, you're not going to be able to make it much further down this road. It's rough. We're like, this dude's crazy. You know, what's going on?
Right.
Well, he looked at us, and he said, where are you boys from? And we said, Muscle Shoals. And this old man never missed a beat. He said, "You know Ross Hill?" And we're like, "Yes, sir, we do. You know, we're in the middle of nowhere." And that guy goes, he says, "Oh, hell, I met him here hunting one time." the typical Ross Hill, you know,
that's
this
right.
Random old hillbilly that is crazy as can be. Ross Hill has already found him in the woods 10 years ago and done took him hunting, you know.
That's right.
And me and Mitch both just looked at each other and was like, "Is this really happening right now?" Like, only story like this, you know.
You bet.
Oh, just
man,
so
that is something
so
else. Yep, no
I don't
doubt,
think I
man.
Ever even told Amber well, that story, but it was. God, it was funny.
Well, I love it, man, and I love being able to share this story. We got to get him on the show, and you're more than welcome to bring him on anytime. We'll be happy to sit back. Obviously, this is kind of what this show is all about, you know, sitting back and sharing those Ross Hill stories. And we go hunting, you know, and we can definitely go that route, you know. But, man,
well,
some good rodeos coming up, and I'm excited for the whole, you know, cowboy Christmas run and guys gearing up. You know, staying healthy is going to be the big factor right there. Reno's coming up right now, isn't it?
Yeah, Reno will be, I think it's this week, but like the Extreme Bulls will be midweek and then the actual event this weekend and stuff. So that'll be a big factor, man. We talked about Ernie Corson, you know, I know Ernie's headed to Reno along with every other guy in the top 20 in the world. But we said
yeah,
it last
but that's
week.
Where, that's where Ernie got hurt last year, so he's looking to redeem himself for sure.
That's where he took a spill, so it'll be cool to see what happens there. Ernie got stepped on the other night. I don't remember exactly where he was at, but he put a picture on Facebook. He was all bruised up. But, man, Ernie, that's just another day for Ernie, I promise. It won't affect him. But when he gets to Reno, man, there will be a fire in him to get a bull road and get back to that short round.
Yeah.
Because that's what he did.
Yeah,
he made the short round. He rode his long round bull, makes it back to the
right.
short round at Reno last year. And it was like the start of something great because Ernie had gotten hot. He was riding. He had moved up. He's in the top 15 in the world. And that was his moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was really doing good. But, man, he was a guy that went hat down. You know, he's going to keep a cowboy hat on. And that bull there at Reno is nasty, a big nasty eliminator that in that short round he pulled him down. And when we say pull him down in the world of bull riding, that means that bull really you know, pulls a guy forward towards his head, and when he did, he hit him face to face. And I mean, it was almost like a tough Heidemann Bodacious kind of moment where, man, it just shattered Ernie's face, and it kind of stunned Ernie. But I mean, it was one of those, you could tell just how tough Ernie Corson was, but it kept him out. You know, he had to spend time away from rodeo to get healed back up. And this game, if you're sitting at home, there's somebody else out there making money. And they're just catching you in the standings. They're getting further ahead of you. So it's that time of year. Like you said, Cowboy Christmas is right around the corner. And this is a time where we want to see some guys win money and you know, make those big moves in the world standings, because the guys that are going, they've got until September 30th to win all the money they can to qualify for the National Finals Rodeo. That's the cutoff is the last day of September. So, you know, those guys are going to go. And then once it's over for the year. So I want to see them do their best. And, you know, being Southeast boys, you know, we'd love to see some guys from Florida, from anywhere in the Southeast be represented. So, just
you
be
bet.
Cool.
No doubt, man. No doubt. Well, I know we got a little extra time, but, man, we could go ahead and wrap this show up early for the day, man. I think I know you've had a long day yourself, and, man, it's been killer out here in Texas. I'm still recovering from a boating weekend again.
You just rub it in, Scott. Just rub it in.
Well,
I
did see your – That's right. I saw your post saying you were coming back here to Texas.
Yeah. Well, when you send stuff like that, it's hard for a man not to say that he wants to come to Texas.
That's right, man. Well, we're going to be getting out there and making a run out of here before too long. So, Man, I appreciate you coming on, and always, man, it's fun to sit back and talk some rodeo and talk Ross Hill with you, man. I know we can do so much of this and spend days doing it.
Do you got gas in the boat for this weekend, or what's your plans?
You know, I do have gas in the boat this weekend. It just depends on what's happening. Right now, this time of year, you just never know what's going to happen. I may jump out and hit the road and go buddy up and hit a rodeo. We'll have to wait and see. Right now, it's summertime. I'm just enjoying it.
You never know where you'll see Scott Messick. It might be Fort Worth on the lake. It might be at Cowtown, or it might be at a rodeo somewhere. So,
that's
God, I
right.
hope I run into you soon, my friend.
Yeah, we got to catch up soon, brother.
We do. Well, hey, if you're good with ending it, I'm good with it too. But it's been a fun hour. Once again, like always, Ross Hill Hour. I guess, hey, Tuesday night we'll be back again. So I'll be coming in hot on Monday, and we'll do another episode. So looking
yes,
forward
sir.
To
I
it.
Know you'll be catching up from the weekend, but
yeah.
We'll be looking forward to talking with you. And who knows, I'm sure we'll have somebody lined up, brother.
I got a good idea in mind, so we'll see. I'll talk to you about it, but we'll figure it out.
All right, man. All right. Well, stay safe, safe travels, and we look forward to catching up with you again next Tuesday, brother.
Ken Ford, if you're listening, we appreciate you being with us, the Ross Hill Memorial Hour. Amber Blanchard, we appreciate you. And Scott, I appreciate you having me with you. So you closed it out, and it was another good week.
Anytime, my friend, anytime. That's going to do it for the Ross Hill Memorial Hour. Appreciate y'all tuning in with Jeremy and I. We look forward to being back here next Tuesday night, 8 o'clock Central Time. Until then, y'all stay safe and enjoy the rodeos.
Wild horses and honky-tonking bars drive the man to chase gold buckles and guitars. I don't do it for the money, I can't blame the fame. It's been a long, hard ride, still I saddle up just the same. I'm rolling right along, sky above is blue. I got the winter rolled down and I'm listening to Chris LeDoux. Half a can of caffeine running through my veins. Riding rain or shine, and I'm never pulling back the reins. Now you may not see me on your TV, I'm seldom heard on your radio, but if you're looking, you might just find me somewhere between the road and the rodeo. I'm there to greet you when your life begins. You'll start your journey on your knees and hands. I offer many choices and places you can go, but you must choose. I'm just a road. I'm paved with memories, glory and regrets. I'm lined with broken dreams and cigarettes. You can take all you can hold, but if you stumble beneath your load, don't blame me. I'm just a road. I'm a million miles before you, I'm a million miles behind. I'll take you straight and narrow, I'll ramble and I'll whine. So curse my broken brimstone, or kiss my brick of gold. I'm not the reason, I'm just a road. The road to riches, path of righteousness, through busy cities or through a mountain bed. I'll take you on the highway or sneak you through the low, but it's your call. I'm just a road. I'm a million miles before you, I'm a million miles behind. I'll take you straight and narrow, I'll ramble and I'll whine. So curse my broken brimstone, or kiss my bricks of gold. I'm not the reason, I'm just the road. not the death of me. I'll take you on to where your ticket reads, to that place where I hope shining angels greet your soul. But if they don't, I'm just a rose. I'm a million miles before you, I'm a million miles behind. I'll take you straight and narrow, I'll ramble and I'll whine. So curse my broken brimstone or kiss my bricks of gold. I'm not the reason, I'm just a rose. I'm a million miles before you, I'm a million miles behind. I'll take you straight and narrow, I'll ramble and I'll whine. So curse my broken brimstone or kiss my bricks of gold. I'm not the reason, I'm just a rose. So don't you thank me, don't you blame me when you're at that judgment throne. 'Cause I'm not the reason, I'm just a rose.